This is Yarena from Gwended, and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast, where we dive into albums, bands, and stories that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake, and together we'll explore the sounds, the legends, and the anthems that keep the metal flame burning. Don't forget to visit our website, themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And for the podcast, you can visit our website for the podcast, which is The Metal Pit. podcast.com, and follow that on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast. And you can listen to audio versions of this podcast on YouTube channel at The Metal Pit 666. Now, my guest today, one guest is John, who's one of my writers from The Metal Pit, of course. How you doing today, John? I know you're feeling under the weather, but how are you otherwise?
I'm not too bad, Blake. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And our other guest is from the band False Prophet, the guitarist Scott Pavarnik. I hope I said your name right there.
Got it. I mean, it usually gets butchered pretty bad, but that's perfect.
And so why don't you tell us and everybody listening more about False Prophet or about you or whatever you want to talk about?
I can talk about Prophet. Yeah. When I was probably 13 or so, middle school age, whatever that is, I went to like a local club. I was friends with another band, and the headlining band was False Prophet, and they just kind of blew me away, dude. It was I remember they played Inner Self by Sepultura, and but they played it like twice as fast, twice as angry. It was awesome. And, you know, the singer like had his mic, you know, kind of weird, and, you know, he leaned down over it, and, you know, they just became one of my favorite bands, and they kind of disappeared, and but it was pretty. It was a really big influence on me. You know, the demo, Sign of the Cross and Second Death, they were both, you know, classics. And, you know, fast forward later on, and, you know, here I am with them. So it's funny how life, you know, can take you places you never expect.
And one question I was going to ask before I let John ask a few questions is, how did you first get into heavy metal in the first place? Do you remember?
Of course. It was, I grew up, kind of poor in a trailer park. So there was another trailer park kid, and he had long hair, and we, you know, met up and, went back to his house, and I discovered, Master of Puppets, Rain and Blood, and Marijuana the same day. It was awesome. Yeah. Maybe I was like 14. I don't remember, but it was, you know, young, you know. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just got deeper and deeper, you know. Loved Metallica, loved Slayer, so that was the gateway for me for metal. Before that, I was listening to, like, you know, Bon Jovi and, you know, stuff like that.
So was that? That was the same for me. I mean, Iron Maiden was the first group that I heard. I'm like older. I'm like 58 here for people who don't know, but I think most people probably do. So yeah, Number of the Beast is the first thing I heard. And I live in Canada, by the way, so they were a little more limited back then, of course, before the internet and stuff.
Keep that flag going, man.
But yeah, so I like Metallica and Slayer and all that stuff came right out. And I'm happy to say I was there when it started, except when I was old, of course, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, John, do you want to ask a few questions to Scott here before we start on our album that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, you had mentioned to me pretty recently here that you guys are headed up to New York mm-hmm. to do some tracking. And, mm-hmm. You know, I was hoping maybe you could tell us about the upcoming album. And, what you guys got coming up in the year ahead, maybe hopefully a tour.
Hopefully. You know, things like that. Yeah. Well, we it's the first album in, you know, 30 years for False Prophet. And, we tracked the guitars and bass with, Terrence at his house, Terrence Hobbs from Suffo at his house. And, you know, Terrence engineered the guitars for Paul and I, and, Derek, you know, helped Craig out, you know, with getting the tones or whatnot and tracking him. So we did that. Then, you know, shortly after that, our bass player passed away. Craig. So we pretty much just put everything on pause. So didn't touch anything. I mean, you know, I couldn't listen to the music, and I didn't play guitar for like a year because, you know, it hurt. You know what I mean? So we decided to, you know, get back together and got hungry again, and we put a search out for another bass player, and we found Ian, a 20-year-old kid from Indiana, and you know, he was what we needed to kind of kickstart our old asses back into gear and, you know, get us motivated. So we need to get back up to Terrence's house and track the solos. And I think Paul needs to work on some vocal stuff, but I mean, it's 90% done. It sounds killer. You know, Hobbs did a mix, and we're going to try to, you know, get it mixed and mastered by, I don't want to say who just yet, but we're going to, we have a couple guys. And the drums, you know, Wes Mahalik killed it on the drums. He tracked it with Joe from Full Force Studio. He does sound for Obituary and Danzig and he's Suffo and just killer producer, killer studio. And he did an amazing job on the drum tracking and mixing. So, yeah, we're excited and just can't wait to get it back out, you know, the people to hear it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd actually met Ian after the show. Very, very nice guy. You know, really cool. It took time to, you know, BS with me after the show for a little bit. I would imagine the logistics of that with him being up in Indiana is probably, you know, kind of a hassle to work around. I mean,
a lot of bands nowadays, like Possessed, for example, you know, Dan lives in Florida, you know, Jeff lives, you know, middle of California, Claudius lives, you know, Sacramento, you know, and Bobby, he's down in Texas. So, I mean, a lot of bands are, you know, kind of like that, unfortunately. And look at Suffo, you know, Eric is Canadian, you know. So it's, you know, it's what you got to do sometimes, man, you know, get the right members, you know, luckily the internet, you know, and be able to, you know, throw tracks back and forth. And, you know, practicing is what you do on your own and rehearsals with the band. So as long as you practice and when it's time to rehearse, you know, you've got your game on, you know, we're good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because of the internet and, you know, the technology's just taken such a leap forward since when we were kids, you know. I mean, I was in high school in the early 90s and I caught, you know, the very tail end of the tape trading days, and, you know, that's how we did it. You know, yeah. I mean, that's how, you know, bands became known to markets that they wouldn't have otherwise been recognized in, which I thought, bring it to another point here. I thought it was interesting that you chose a compilation album to talk about, you know, mainly because, you know, I never really owned too many compilation albums. For me, you know, especially when I was a kid, you know, a compilation album is something we did on a dual cassette deck with a Maxell or a TDK and, you know, pulled songs off of another tape. And, you know, we sent it to our buddies and they gave us one back. And, you know, it was a whole, I hate to say it was a cult, but it was kind of, it was its own little scene in a way. And, you know, brings back a lot of memories, you know, with this album that you picked. So I thought that was kind of cool, although I didn't really get into compilation albums myself. Like I said, that was just a DIY thing that all us kids were doing back in high school, you know, before, you know, grunge exploded in, what, 91 or 92?
Well, there was like really, you know, where I grew up in small town North Carolina, there was like three metalheads. So, you know, we would get our information from, like, remember Metal Maniacs, that magazine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Metal Maniacs, and I'd go to Camelot Music at the mall and, you know, find the cool covers and, you know, buy that based on that. Because, you know, there was no internet, no YouTube. So.
Right. You look for that parental advisory sticker on the bottom.
Of course, that, you know, it's going to be badass if it has that on it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tipper Gore, for that.
Yes.
There are a lot of bands made a lot of money just on that sticker. So.
Yeah, I think she inadvertently did more for promoting extreme metal than, you know, any record company ever did. You know, I mean, it's something that's been a topic of conversation here on the Metal Pit in the past about, you know, the trials with Judas Priest and Dee Snider and, you know, the whole PMRC thing.
Do it.
Yeah, right.
Do what?
And I remember seeing an interview with KK Downing saying that, you know, if we actually were putting backmasking in our records, we wouldn't put something like that. We'd put something like, go buy more of our records.
Yeah. Buy more stuff. Buy more stuff. Yeah.
Buy more stuff. So, but yeah, it's a little piece in time from our lives that, will always be special to me. And that's, you know, essentially what got me into metal was all that bad pub. So I knew if the government hated it, it had to be good.
And props to Dee Snider for, you know, standing up to Congress and, you know, being well spoken and, you know, not
absolutely
one of the, you know, drunk rock star. You come up there and, you know, spoke well and put him in check. So that was awesome. Yeah, you know?
That was awesome. Definitely.
Now, Scott, I'll just jump in here. Scott, so we're going to do the album in a while here, At Death's Door, which is from Roadrunner Records in 1990. Did you have any other various albums? Because I have a few here I'm going to talk about in a second.
This was the one that kind of wrecked my life and changed it for, you know, we talk about the albums now, or are we talking?
No, we're going to just talk. Well, we'll get to the songs in a minute, but did you have any other compilation albums, or is that?
Not on this one, but I mean, another compilation album that opened me up to a lot of stuff was the, remember that Nativity in Black, the Black Sabbath tribute?
Yes. Yep.
That one was like, I was never, you know, a huge Black Sabbath fan until I bought that record and it was like, holy shit. My favorite band's playing, you know, the Sabbath tunes. And I went back and, you know, to the Sabbath catalog and realized, holy shit, these guys are the heaviest band on earth. You know, 1969 doing, you know, the song Black Sabbath. You can't get any heavier than those three chords, you know.
Okay, for me, so I'm just going to bring up a few because I have a few various albums. I don't have the one. I have a Roadrunner Records one.
Okay.
I believe it's a Canadian kind of one because it was put out on Attic Records, which is a Canadian label. But the only group that's on it that I have heard of now is Merciful Fate, but Merciful Fate's on this one. And this is it. I know this isn't a video podcast, but I'm just showing you guys. And it
there's no video here?
It has the price in the right, $1.99.
Oh, you should make a video, man. The lightning tapestry is badass in the background.
And I got
Elvira myself.
The Best of Metal Blade Volume 2, which has a bunch of bands on it, of course, like Slayer and Flotsam and Jet Sam and stuff.
Wasn't
like
for
that.
The comps, you would have Metallica, right? You know, the metal.
Yes. I don't have the first one. And I got some Banzai. I don't know, various, but it has Metallica, Venom, Raven, Trouble, Slayer on it. So,
yeah.
But I just can't remember exactly if I already knew the groups before I got those or not. But it seems like that was a precursor to tape trading.
Yeah. I was
probably fans probably saw these and thought, well, I can do this myself.
Yeah. That was tape trading a little bit before my time. I mean, although, like, you know, friends of mine talk about that, and like, you know Rick Ross he talks about that, and you know, getting stories from the old guys.
See, I lived in a small town here in Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, I think I was the first heavy metal fan in my town.
Ostracized, man.
But
devil worshiper.
So I wasn't doing any tape trading either, but I do remember magazines where people had their ads in to do that and all that stuff. So yes, it was interesting. Okay, anyway, John, got another question for Scott first.
Not at the moment.
You want to ask about death metal though? You want to bring that up now? You're going to ask him about the state of death metal now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I completely lost my train of thought and being sick and all that. Scott, we've got, you know, death metal's been around for, you know, across four decades now. You know, a lot of the old guard are, you know, still going strong, still touring, still at the top of their game. Bands like Suffocation, Immolation, whatnot. But, you know, now we're up to, you know, a third generation of bands that has been cropping up over the last couple of years and, you know, really, really rattling a lot of cages and, getting a lot of positive feedback. You know, people are calling it the new wave of old school death metal. You know, I don't really buy into titles. I just call them third generation death metal bands, but you know, I was curious as to, you know, what you thought about these, new bands that are coming out of the woodwork, and there's been so many of them and so many great ones, you know, like Necrot or, you know, 200 Stab Wounds. You know, I just wanted to get your opinion on the state of death metal today and what you thought about this, you know, new generation of bands and musicians.
I mean, honestly, I'm not really plugged into the scene, the new scene. I'm old, so I listen to the old stuff. But I mean, right. Sonny, Necro, we've played with them, and they're great, man. You know, Sonny's awesome. All those guys are really cool, and they put out brutal stuff. One of the newer bands that, you know, I toured with was Sankashugabog, and those guys fucking throw down. You know, the awesome band, good guys. The other ones you mentioned, I haven't really heard them. But I mean, I've heard about them, but I never really listened to them. I listen to.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry.
It's all good. I think a lot of them are worth checking into because there are a lot of very talented musicians, and they play well live. I've seen quite a few of them live. Were you at that Necrot show when they played Raleigh back in June?
We played with them on the Morbid Angel a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's last time I seen those guys.
Yeah, they played. And apparently, they don't come out east very much. Yeah, I guess it's a financial thing, whatever, not being on a major label or whatever. But yeah, they played Raleigh down at Chapel of Bones Coffee, and my girlfriend and I went to go see that. And they were headlining, and they were fantastic.
Oh, killer, man.
Yeah, like their energy level was through the roof. I mean, and I'm a big fan of Sonny's. I think he writes just the catchiest riffs. Yeah. You know, because they'll be chugging along, and they throw that little hook in there, you know, and as a fan, you're just like, oh, that's awesome, you know. And then Luca is, of course, a great front man. Yeah. Really knows how to work a crowd, certainly. But they're coming back in March. They're playing Greensboro with Max and Igor Cavalera, our headline.
I'll be there for that, yeah, most likely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if you're going to be there for that, because, I mean – it'll be cool seeing Cavalera because I think they're going to be performing all the Sepultura work from like the first three or four albums, which would be great. I never had a chance to see Sepultura myself, so that'll be cool just for that. But really, like, I'm going to see Necrot. Like, those dudes are unreal, man. They are unreal. And like when they played Raleigh, like, I didn't know if I was going to have a chance to see them again just because they don't really seem like they come out east very much. But now if they're coming right to my backyard, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. You know, so I'm not going to miss that for nothing.
Yeah, first time I saw them, we played with them in California with Possessed. And that was like their hometown crowd, and it was fucking insane. Can I curse? Sorry.
Yeah, you can curse. Yeah,
it was insane. That was it was in Oakland at the Metro, and it was, you know, it was mind-blowing how different crowds are. You know, different coasts, you know.
You're right.
But yeah, it was they're a great band. I love Necrot.
Yeah, they caught me in 2020 when they released Mortal. It was the one that caught my attention first. But yeah, I mean, for a three piece, seeing them live, they're mind blowing. They sounded great, and the crowd was rowdy all night. So yeah, it was a great show. I'm definitely looking forward to see them again, and yeah, hopefully run out to you out there.
Yeah, I'll most likely be there.
Awesome.
Okay, so we're going to get to an in-out. Now, usually, of course, obviously, we do an album by one band. But I gave Scott the choice, and he sent me a bunch of albums. And I said, well, we can do whatever one you want, because we haven't done any of the ones that you mentioned. And you picked this compilation album from Roadrunner Records, which we've already brought up, but it's called At Death's Door. So you want to tell us why you wanted to do this album instead of a band's album for this podcast?
I think it came out in 1990.
Yes.
And I was already aware of, through, you know, Headbangers Ball, thank you, Ricky Rackman, for what induced me to Sepultura, for, you know, Inner Self. And I knew who Death was, you know, and Deicide, but I had no idea who Exhorter was, or who Believer, or, you know, Pestilence, or Morgoth, and Sadus. So that record, you know, just blew my mind. And, you know, none of my friends had those, you know, back then, cassettes. So yeah, that Death's Door. If you don't have it, check it out. You know, it was the introduction to all kinds of brutal death metal for me.
Okay, we're going to go through every song.
Okay.
I'll just mention the song and a little about it, and then you could talk about the band and maybe some of these you don't like, of course, which could be possible too. And even though they do say it's death metal, it's not all death metal on here, so I'm not sure why they put that on the cover too. But but anyway, it starts off with Sepultura's Mass Hypnosis, which is from their Beneath the Remains album, which was their third studio album, which came out in 1989, and I think most people know who they are. And we also did I did a podcast with a guest on that album. So if anybody's interested, they go back and listen to that. That was like in season one. But what did you, but you already knew Sepultura before you heard this?
Yeah, I had heard Inner Self. And I went out and bought Beneath the Remains. And that whole record, man, God, it's so good. You know, I like how like Sepultura, like each album, you know, they progressed, you know, got heavier, and that one was definitely more polished than, you know, Schizophrenia. But I mean, Beneath the Remains, there's not a bad song on there, you know.
And would you call Sepultura death metal or thrash metal or mixture?
Probably like they're kind of right at death thrash line.
Okay.
Depending on like what era you listen to, you know, like Beast of Devastation, definitely death metal. Come up to here, they're more on the thrashy side, but I mean, still, I'm sure a lot of death metal fans love this record, just like, you know.
Yeah,
I do.
John, do you want to add something to that about that song or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, again, shout out to Headbangers Ball. I caught on a little bit later. I saw a video for Dead Embryonic Cells, which was the second track from Sepultura's Arise album. And at the time, like, the heaviest thing I was listening to was Slayer. So to hear something, you know, tuned down and, you know, that with that much distortion on it, like that to me was end all extreme. So I didn't get into Beneath the Remains until after Arise, which I thought Beneath the Remains was, and still is, their best album. To me, it's too extreme to be just thrash metal. I mean, that era of Sepultura was, you know, about as badass as you could get. And the musicianship was phenomenal, you know, just with the time changes and the riffs and everything. And, you know, Igor's drumming was just off the chain. And, you know, I think a lot of their popularity was kind of a novelty thing, and people are like, oh, they're from Brazil. But when you dig down into it, you know, the meat and bones of an album like Beneath the Remains was these guys were great musicians and they wrote great songs. You know, and their evolution, you know, they kind of lost me at Roots, but, you know, everything they did up to that point I thought was just incredible. So yeah, I dig some Sepultura, and I'm looking forward to seeing Cavalera here in a couple months.
It was like a new sound, like Igor's tribal kind of influence drumming, you know.
And right.
The riffs, the changes, the timing, and, you know, Max's, you know, way very throaty, you know, vocals.
My understanding was Max actually didn't even play with all the strings on his guitar. He had like the top two strings removed because he never used them.
Yeah, four strings is what I've always been told.
Yeah, so. That's kind of the legend behind that, I guess. But, you know, again, they were great musicians. They wrote great music. You know, I got a lot of respect for those guys and what they brought to the scene, you know, for sure.
So one thing about this album that I got off Wikipedia, so I hope it's right. Most of my information is from Wikipedia. But the album cover of their album, Beneath the Remains.
Nightmare in Red.
Pardon?
Nightmare in Red.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but they were going to use something from the same artist called Blood Curdling Tales of Horror and the Macabre, which one? Igor even got tattooed on his arm. But then Roadrunner Records convinced Sepultura to use the Nightmare in Red instead. And then they gave that cover to Obituary to use on their album Cause of Death. And Igor wasn't happy about that, I guess, or maybe he was.
Have that shirt, or it has like Sepultura's logo and the Cause of Death artwork.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting when I read that. Okay, track two, we got Pestilence, Out of the Body, and this is from their second album, and this is a Dutch metal band. So what do you think of Pestilence song here?
That, you know, hearing that for the first time, just Out of Body just grabbed me, dude. It's like that riff, down, and you know, and having, you know, those vocals was like, what is going on here? Yeah, if you haven't checked out Pestilence, especially early,
sorry, I'm getting some noise from your microphone.
Let me move this out the way. Here we go. Yeah, definitely check out the Pestilence. Out of Body is a great track, one of my favorites, probably because it was on this record and I've heard it so many times.
And John, are you familiar with this group?
I am. I actually still have the tape for Testimony of the Ancients, which I bought back in 92 or 93. I really enjoyed them when I was younger, but they haven't aged well for me. Over the years, maybe just my taste in metal has changed or whatever, but I don't think their work has really withstood the test of time, to me anyway. But yeah, that's just my opinion. For the longest time, though, I would say, you know, throughout high school, I had that thing in my Walkman quite a bit.
Now, they have 9 studio albums, and supposedly they're working on a new one that's coming out this year, again, according to Wikipedia. So if I'm wrong, it's not my fault.
That's off for Patrizio. Keep the thing going, man.
Yes. Okay. Track 3, we got Deicide, Dead by Dawn. And so what do you think of that one?
Oh, that first Deicide record, man. I listened to that thing like every day religiously. I could still recite all the lyrics to that record. Dead by Dawn, that's, you know, my favorite movie, Evil Dead. You know, so you just pretty much recite the movie back in a song, you know. Classic.
And I know John likes Deicide as well.
Yeah, I remember the first I'd really heard about them. MTV had a documentary on called Dancing with the Devil, and it was about all the quote-unquote satanic music in metal, blah, blah, blah. And
every channel, I think, man.
Right. Yep, and yep. I remember, you know, seeing footage of Deicide on that documentary, and, you know, here's a young Glenn Benton wearing these football pads with spikes coming out of them, like, you know, something out of Mad Max. And I had shortly after that, or around that same time, I had gotten a mixtape from my buddy Steve, which was the entire Deicide debut album. And yeah, I mean, they were probably the meanest thing out there at the time. Looking back, I think Legion blows it away from a musicianship standpoint. It's just light years ahead, but the debut was very groundbreaking because they're the first band, really, other than maybe Possessed, that I can think of that was really, really pushing the imagery as far as Satanism and everything like that. You know, they've been hit or miss with me over the years after that. I think the new album's really good. But again, you know, you got to give props to them for their longevity. You know, Glenn and Steve are both still at the top of their game, you know. So, yeah, I mean, big influence on me, too, especially being an impressionable teenager back in 1990, 91.
And the new lineup is probably the best since the Hoffman Brothers, you know.
Oh, yeah. Taylor and Kevin are great. I've actually got to meet Taylor at an Inhuman Condition show. They were opening for Vader and Origin. And again, I love Vader, but I bought the ticket just to see Inhuman Condition. They're one of the most fun live bands you will ever see. Like, you're guaranteed to have a blast. You know, and it's Terry Butler. So, I mean, what's not to like? But I was talking to Taylor before the show, and he's a Pennsylvania boy. So he and I have that in common. But yeah, just a very cool dude. Hell of a guitar player. Glenn thinks very highly of him, which blows my mind because Glenn don't think highly of anybody. But
Glenn's not dumb, dude. He knows talent, and Taylor is talented. And I mean, he nails those fucking solos, you know. And the backing he's doing is like, whoa, shit.
yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like Deicide, you know, minus, you know, the Hoffmans.
Right. Minus the hot, well, yeah, I'm not going to say that. He's you know, incredibly talented, very personable to talk to. And the fact that he's, you know, got multiple projects going on, I think it is really cool too, because I mean that means he's active in the community. You know, he's constantly writing new music. You know, so again, like, I think metal, you know, needs more people like that out there that are, you know, just 100%, you know, into it, like Taylor is.
Yeah, they're a great band. We played a few shows with them. I think on their run with Crusaders, we did 3 of the shows. We did Florida, Chapel Hill, and Knoxville with them. It was great dudes. And, you know, Terry, like you said, and, you know, Jeremy, he's awesome.
Jeremy's great. Jeremy's a natural front man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at him and you think, this guy's not in the band. And then he gets up on stage and he starts running around and his eyes are all bugged out and he's throwing his hands in the air. And it just, he'll get you moving. He'll get you pumped up. They were actually, the entire band was nice enough to get a picture with me after the show, which was really, really cool. But, you know, they're one of my favorite bands to see. I know I'm guaranteed a great time every time they play.
Yeah, we were with them, and Lee Harrison was playing drums.
Oh, so right on.
That was an extra treat there for people who saw that tour.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, then I go to track 4, and I couldn't find much about this group at all. But this group, the group is called Morgoth. The song is called Burnt Identity, and this is from their EP, The Eternal Fall. Do you know more about this group than I could find information on?
Their latest record was called Ungod, I believe, and it was fucking killer. So yeah, they're still out there. Morgoth, great band. I don't know what to say. It's just they're a great band. If you never heard them, you gotta check them out. You're a death metal guy, you know.
And John, have you heard of them before?
I've heard of them, but I've never actually heard them. I always thought they were a black metal band, and I had a very strong anti-black metal bias for the longest time because I'm a production snob, and you know, I complained about it all sounding like it was recorded in a garage. But now that I'm a little more enlightened, I'll definitely have to check them out.
Yeah, check out the new one; it's good. And also,
okay,
Resurrection Absurd, I think, is another one that's really good.
Okay, then we move to Sadus with their song Last Abide, and this is from their second full-length album called Swallowed in Black. And so what do you think of Sadus?
The musicianship there, man. Steve DiGiorgio, you know, Darren, you know, fuck. This is wide open, you know, speed, thrash, you know. They're still, you know, the new record's really good. You haven't heard the new one, it's pretty good. You know, my buddy Claudius is playing guitar with them now, so you know, great band. Yeah.
John, do you have any comments on Sadus? Do you know,
Sadus is, I think, when you think Roadrunner Records, you always think that big three of Sepultura, Obituary, Deicide. Sadus, I think, is actually better than all of them from a musicianship standpoint. Those guys are just ridiculously talented. Darren writes just some crazy, crazy riffs. And, you know, Steve DiGiorgio, of course, more people know him now as being, you know, in Testament. But, you know, here's a guy who is very, very highly sought after, been in a number of projects, you know, over the years. I think he even did an Iced Earth album at one point. Mm-hmm. You know, dude's just phenomenal bass player. He's funny as hell, too. You can swap puns with him all day and be endlessly entertained. He's hilarious. But yeah, I think Sadus was probably the most underrated, undervalued band on the entire Roadrunner roster. Those dudes were freaking great. You get into, you know, from like A Vision of Misery, which was, I think, 92. And there is nothing else like it. I think they're too extreme to be just a thrash band, just because of their ferocity, and their technicality. I mean, they're not playing cookie cutter riffs. I mean, they're just on a whole other level, man. I love Sadus. Yeah, as much as I love Deicide and Obituary, Sadus might very well be my favorite band on Roadrunner, or at least at that point in time.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back to that SOS tour, man. The Sepultura, Obituary, Sadus tour. Oh, could you imagine?
That would have been awesome. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, back in those days, I mean, you know, Blake and I had talked about this a little bit earlier, you know, all the good extreme metal was only on three labels. It was either Roadrunner, Metal Blade, or Earache. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't really till later that Relapse kind of took over. But I mean, you know, I would literally, if I was at, you know, at the music store, I wasn't just looking even for bands or cool artwork. I was looking for the label they were on. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured if they were on one of those three labels, it was going to be some pretty heavy shit. So, you know, but yeah, the new Sadus record is phenomenal. You know, even without Steve being on it, it's still top notch, man. Those dudes are incredible. Just tight.
And that album is called The Shadow Inside. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. 2023. They have six studio albums. Then we get to Exhorder, and this is actually a group I listen to. I think the only one on this album. And this is from their debut album, which was Slaughter in the Vatican. So what about Exhorder? Exhorder.
Oh, man. It's like my first time hearing like groove death metal, I guess you would say. I'm not really sure how to. And you know, Kyle Thomas is a fucking amazing front man. He's a really good dude too, and you know the whole band. I think with Slaughter, it was more of a thrashy record than you know the next one. The Law was just like, you see where Pantera got their groove right there.
And yes,
undoubtedly, that's where it came from, and I don't think they would deny it. I know Phil wouldn't, but so underrated band, still out there kicking ass. You know, Jason. You know, and Kyle are keeping it going with Sasha. So, and now Pat's playing guitar with them, you know, Pat O'Brien. So it's like, phew, fucking Exhorder.
And John, you listen to Exhorder too?
A little bit. I think they would have been a lot bigger if they didn't have such a long layover between albums. I mean, I think they went, what, like 17 years between albums?
Between The Law and the new one?
Right. So, I mean, you know, they hadn't really been.
They kind of, you know, on hiatus and.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, everything moves so fast nowadays. So if you're not constantly cranking out albums, you're not going to, you know, most Americans, most music fans have a notoriously short attention span. So if you're not constantly, you know, keeping your band's name out there, you know, a fan is just going to go on to the next thing. And I think if they didn't have that long layoff between albums, I think they would be much more, you know, in the consciousness of, you know, the fans right now. But, you know, again, they're tremendously talented guys. Can't take anything away from them. Yeah, there are a lot of comparisons with Pantera and whatnot. But Exhorder was just meaner, man. Like, hands down, just fucking mean. And, you know, especially those early albums, you know, you really can't compare anything else really to it. I mean, they were,
riffs.
Yeah, they did their own thing. They were heavy as hell.
Yeah.
Mourn the Southern Skies from 2019 is the first time I listened to them. And yeah, great record. You hear the Pantera thing in there too. Yeah.
Great record, man. Great record.
Okay. Then we move on to a group that called themselves Death. With the track Open Casket, which is from the Leprosy album, which was the second studio album by, I don't know, I guess some people would say this is the first death metal band. I don't know what you guys are going to say, but what do you think of this song?
Possessed.
Leprosy was probably my least favorite death album. Mm-hmm. No, probably Scream Bloody Gore, just because production-wise. I'm kind of like you production-wise. Like, I didn't like Seven Churches at first because it just, to me, it sounded, you know, didn't sound very good. But going back now, listening to like Scream Bloody Gore and Seven Churches, I have a new appreciation for it. With Leprosy, at that time when that came out, I was listening more into Massacre. So, you know, then I go back to listen to Leprosy, I'm like, I like Massacre better. But Open Casket, then definitely one of the classic death songs, probably not my favorite on that record, but, you know, it's Death, dude. I mean, it's my favorite band. So I flew the Death Sepultura flag all through middle high school. You know, it was the
And John, do you have any comments on this song?
Yeah, I may have heard it once or twice. I may have heard of Death. All jokes aside, Chuck was a special musician. He had a style of playing that was so uniquely his. There's not too many guitarists, maybe Trey from Morbid Angel, that for me anyway, I could pick out having never heard a song before. You could probably play me, if I you know, wasn't as familiar with their catalog as I am, you could probably pick any Death song and play it for me, and I could pick them out, you know. Just a special, special talent, taken way too soon, you know, unfortunately. There's really not a whole lot more that, you know, need be said. I mean, Death are legendary.
Yeah, those first three albums, you know, with Chuck and Rick writing those rhythms, it's like, whew, those riffs, yes. Jesus. Jeez. They were like the influence for so many people, you know.
So, yeah, and I mean, when they did Individual Thought Patterns, you bring in Steve DiGiorgio, you bring in Gene Hoagland. I mean, you can't get a better rhythm section than that. I mean, that is A+. Yeah. You know, and then you combine that with, you know, Chuck and I believe Andy LaRocque was on that album. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's an all-star lineup. You know, I mean, if they had a Hall of Fame for extreme metal, all four of those guys would be in it. I feel like the longer I talk about Death, the more I'm just beating a dead horse, because everybody knows it. Everybody says it. You know, Chuck was special.
Okay, then we go to track number 8, and it's Obituary with Till Death. And this is from their Slowly We Rot album, which was their debut album. And so, do we like Obituary?
Swamp music. Of course we like Obituary. That I remember when I bought that cassette, you know, based on the cover. I never heard them, so it was hit play. And, oh, my God. To tune in E standard, but those vocals, it was like the heaviest band on earth at the time. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember that time, but it was
oh yeah,
there was nothing like that, you know, those guys. And to still be doing what they're doing and be the nicest guys on the fucking planet, you know, we toured with Obituary on the they were doing this album, actually, like the anniversary. And to hear that song every night, you know, nicest dudes, heaviest band on the planet, and just keep getting better and better. I mean, hats off to Obituary.
And John?
Yeah, the legend behind this album is that supposedly it doesn't even have any real lyrics.
Yeah.
John Tardy just spouted off a bunch of nonsense and nobody was the wiser. You listen to you know, the title track, and he's like, Volleyball, Join Me, Slowly We Dwell. What the hell is that? You know? That's kind of already puts them on a whole other level from anybody else out there. You know, I don't know if that was just a joke or, you know, what, but it was pretty, pretty cool to hear that. But Obituary, I think at the time, you know, death metal in its infancy, the bands were trying to all be faster and more brutal than everybody else. You know, I mean, you had Napalm Death was really pushing the speed thing. Yeah, Morbid Angel, you know, had their speed going, you know, and Pete's drum work was phenomenal. But Obituary went the other route, you know, whereas everybody else was trying to be, you know, a death metal Iron Maiden, Obituary was trying to be a death metal Black Sabbath. They realized, like some bands do, sometimes simple is better. You know, I've seen them live only once, but what they do translates well to the stage, you know, because they got them stompy parts and they got the up-tempo parts. So, you know, the crowd responds to that, you know, because, I mean, you'll be getting down, you'll be in the pit, you'll be getting down, you know, and they've got this swampy down-tempo groove going. And then they kick it up a notch and everybody goes berserk. So they are built to be a live band. I harp on Inhuman Condition, you know, again, built to be a live band. You know, and all their albums, I think they lost a little bit when they parted ways with Alan West. I think Alan West, from a songwriting standpoint, brought his own sense of groove and timing, you know, into their music. And so I don't like their post Frozen in Time albums as much as I do with Frozen in Time and everything before it. But again, you know, stylistically, you know, bands change members, and I realize Alan's had his problems over the years. But, you know, I mean, they're still great. They're still out there kicking ass at the top of their game. You know, they're just a slightly different version of themselves. But, you know, that's evolution. I mean, I can't complain.
They fit well with different bands. I mean, I've seen them with like Zakk Wylde, and his crowd was all into them, which was like, wow, you know, different genres and totally different people, and you know that they can win a crowd over. I think it's the groove, and it's simple to get into. You can, you know, fucking yep. Nod your head to it, and hats off to Obituary.
And they have absolutely 11 studio albums, and their last one was 2023. And now the next track is from Malevolent Creation. Malevolent. Am I saying that right?
Malevolent Creation.
Okay, sorry. Now they have 13 studio albums, and the song is Decadence Within, which is from their Ten Commandments, which was their debut album. And they're from Buffalo, New York. Or they originally were from Buffalo, then I think they moved to Florida or something like that.
What you had to do back then, man. You had to go to Tampa.
Yes.
Yeah, Malevolent Creation, man. What a fucking great band. Ten Commandments was awesome. What's the second record? I can't remember, but it was just as good, if not better. But yeah, my first time hearing that was on this record, the Death's Door. Another great band. I mean, it's Brett Hoffman, rest in peace, an excellent frontman. You know, there's not a whole lot more I can say about Malevolent, man. Just awesome.
John, do you listen to them too?
Those guys are living legends. And I think they're a bit underappreciated, really. To have the longevity that they've had, to have changed so many members over the course of their career. You know, granted, I think it's always been predominantly Phil and Rob. But yeah, like, you always know what you're going to get with a Malevolent Creation record. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it's good. They do what they do, and they do just aggressive, face-ripping death metal. And they just do it better than most anybody else out there. I don't think they really get the recognition they deserve for being as good as they are. You don't really ever hear them mentioned in the same breath as, you know, Obituary or Deicide, but they were every bit as good and still are. You know, and then, you know, again, I mentioned, like, with the lineup changes, you add Dave Kolross on drums, and it kicks them into another stratosphere. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to appreciate their longevity and their tenacity to, you know, still be together and still, you know, kicking ass and taking names, you know, almost 40 years later. It's awesome.
Still, they're doing it, man. You got to give them credit.
Absolutely.
Their last album is in 2019, so I'm not I don't know anything else about if they're still making music. Do you know if they're still?
They're on tour now.
Are they okay?
Just got off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, then track 10 is a group called Believer, and the song is Not Even One. And this is from their Extraction from Mortality album, which is also known as Extraction, I guess. And it was their debut studio album. And I guess they're an American Christian thrash metal band.
Yeah. Have them on the same record as Deicide. It's kind of weird. when I first heard them back then, I was like, what is this? You know, and they kind of grew on me with the vocals. I went back and looked, you know, went back and bought the cassette back then, and it was a great record. There wasn't, you know, the stigma Christian bands, there wasn't a whole lot of Christian death metal out there. I mean, there was one called,
Fortification.
Yeah, there's another one had like the cross. Shit, I can't remember the fucking name. I'll remember it tonight at like 2 a.m. when I'm trying to sleep. But yeah, they were great too, whoever they were. I forgot the name of the band.
You don't mean Trouble, right? Because they're not dead.
That's Kyle Thomas. Awesome.
Yeah, that's Doom. Yeah, it's they were Christian Trouble. Doom, I guess. Metal
band. Anything Kyle Thomas does, man, I'm already a fan of because he's such a great guy. And a hell of a vocalist. Hell, didn't he know he played guitar until here recently when he stepped in and for X-Ware. I was like, oh, shit. He plays guitar, too.
John, do you listen to Believer? Do you know anything about them?
I know absolutely nothing about this band. Never even heard the name until you brought this album to my attention. I've got nothing. I don't know anything about them at all.
You listened to it? Did you check it out? The song?
No, I've been sick all day yesterday, man, fighting a fever. I didn't listen to anything.
Yeah, I'm confused. No, different, you know.
I'm not sure. I don't really remember why, but I do have a cassette of Believer, but it's not this album. It's the one.
And you have Cure?
Yes.
That's a great one too. Yeah.
So I just bought a cassette deck the other day because I didn't have one for years. So I'll have to give it a listen again because it's been a while. And I suppose they're on Spotify too, but whatever. Okay. Then we get to track number 11, which is Cerebral Fix. And this is from their, the song is, if I can say this right, Culti des Mortes, I hope. And it's from their second album called Tower of Spite. And they're from England. And I think thrash is what it says here.
Cerebral Fix. I haven't visited that track in a long time, so I can't really say much about it. I don't remember if I liked it or not. I should have listened to this record before we started this.
I'm going
to
assume John doesn't know this group either.
No, I know the name, but that's the extent of it. Yeah. I've never heard anything they've done.
Yeah, they have 5, I think, full-length studio albums, but again, so I'm not sure if they're still around. I don't believe that they are. But. And then the album ends with track 12, Atrocity, and Deep in Your Subconscious. And this is a German death metal band from their debut album, Hallucinations.
That's one of those where you take your favorite substance and listen, put the headphones on and listen to that record. It was very trippy. I remember that. Great band, great song. I have Hallucinations. I have that record. I haven't visited it in a while. I need to go back and listen, but I remember it being great, you know.
And John, do you know Atrocity?
I need to revisit them. I don't think they really grabbed me at the time. Again, I had first heard them, early 90s. The name was always out there. I was into much more straightforward stuff at the time. I think they were probably just a little too trippy, But... nowadays, you get bands like Blood Incantation and trippy is what they do. And I have a much greater appreciation for it now. So I'll need to go back and revisit them and kind of refamiliarize myself with them. I remember they didn't really grab me at the time.
Okay. Well, that's the album. Now, usually you rate the album, but I'm not going to bother doing that since it's a compilation album, but it sounds like you like every song except maybe one.
I probably like that. I just don't remember it right now.
Yeah. But it's got a bunch of groups that you love and learn to love or whatever from this. So yes, that's cool. So now we're going to end the episode with just one. Usually everybody does a list, but since we did a different compilation album here and we got a guest from Van, I thought I would just ask you for your favorite albums of all time or the soundtrack to your life, which you told me about. I think we've got 12 albums here. So we'll go through them. You don't have to say a lot about them if you don't want to. We'll just, but you can say.
I didn't go dig them out.
Well, I got the list here, so I'll tell you what they are. Because I just copied your list and put it so I could read it. So you have Suffocation them. With Pierce From Within.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple of my favorite songs on there, man. Thrones of Blood. Shit. I got it right here. This
synthetically revived.
What's that?
Synthetically revived.
You know, being,
that's my jam.
I toured with them as a guitar tech in 2018 on the Farewell to Frank tour. So to get to hear that song every night was, you know, my favorite Suffo song was killer. And they played a lot of stuff from that record and, you know, all their early stuff. Suffo is one of the bands. It's like, I think Hobbs is like the most underrated death metal guitar player there is. No one ever talks about Hobbs. I always talk about Murphy and Schuldiner, but, you know, never Hobbs. And that's a fucking shame. Suffo is a band that every time I see them, they get better. I don't understand. They're like the Pantera of death metal. These guys can party their asses off before the show, then go on stage, rip everybody's heads off like nothing ever happened. I'm like, I can't even, you know, have a soda before I go on stage without having a little caffeine rush or whatever. And these guys, I don't get it, but definitely Suffocation. Props off to them.
Now, some of these, of course, that you have listed, we already talked about today. So, like, you got Death, Spiritual Healing on this one.
That's the first record I bought with my own money from mowing grass. And I was familiar with Leprosy. I had it, and it wasn't really my favorite, but Spiritual was the one that grabbed me, you know, just all those riffs. The lyrics was, you know, wasn't about Satan for a change. It was just, you know, thought-provoking death metal. From the Florida.
And then we have Massacre with From Beyond.
Oh yes, with the record that was, you know, written in 86 and didn't come out till like, you know, 90 or whatever, but such a great band. And, you know, Terry and Rick and, you know, Cam and Bill, they put out a great record, man. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but if you haven't listened to From Beyond, definitely.
John, you know Massacre, John. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Still out there, you know, different lineup, but, you know, Cam's out there doing it still, so.
Yep.
Props.
And then we got, let's see, we mentioned this one already, but Exhorters, Slaughter in the Vatican, their debut album. You want to add anything else? We already talked about them, I guess.
You don't have it, get it?
And Possessed with Seven Churches.
Again, that was, when I first heard it, I didn't like it, just production-wise, but after, you know, working with Possessed and, you know, being friends and went back and listened to it with fresh ears and re-listened to it. And, you know, like the song, The Exorcist. Fuck, man. This was, you know, when would that record come out? It was early 80s.
86, I think. 85, 86. The charm of that album is, to me, for that point in time, that album was End All Extreme. But beyond that, it always sounded to me like the drummer was trying to beat the rest of the band to the end of the song. Like there was just that certain off kilter feel to every song that just, I don't know. It's a special album, man. It's a personal favorite of mine. It gets regular spins here at the house all the time. Fallen Angel is a particular favorite of mine, but the whole album's great. There's not a bad song on it. It's an album I think everyone should own.
Oh, yeah. And
I don't say that about too many albums, but it's right up there with, like, you know, Master of Puppets. Like, everyone should own that album.
85.
Right.
85.
And then we got Deicide with their debut album, and we've already kind of covered them. Then we got Sepultura with Arise. I don't know. We already talked about them, too. And then we got Obituary, Cause of Death. And then we got Morbid Angel with Altars of Madness.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
You gotta love Altars, man. I had just seen I Am Morbid, you know, not too long ago. And I never saw, you know, them play those songs. And to hear, like, my favorite Morbid Angel song, which is Immortal Rites, I was like, holy shit. It was killer, amazing. If you don't have that record, you know, a little bit of trivia there. When I was talking with Frank from Suffo, he told me how they got their name. It was from the song Suffocation off that record. So
that's nice. Ah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I actually saw Morbid Angel once, but they were like opening for Slayer and Pantera. And Static X was there too, I think. And
was it with who was singing?
Oh, geez.
Was Sucker there?
It was so long ago, I wouldn't even know. Sorry. Because I probably didn't know much about them when I saw that thing, but I did go buy the album after.
They've had some, you know, amazing members, and, you know, Tucker, I mean, he's one of my good friends, and I think he's doing a fucking hell of a job, you know, fronting that band.
And your next...
I actually like a lot of the albums with Steve better than some of their original stuff. I mean, yeah, you know, Altars and Blessed Are the Sick, Covenant, they're all classics. They're all great albums. But when you get into like Formulas, Fatal to the Flesh, you know, Tucker kind of helped them kick up the intensity a bit, especially on that album. So I actually kind of prefer Tucker stuff, to be honest with you.
I stopped listening to him after Blessed. I stopped listening to him until Formulas, and I was like, holy shit, they're back. I didn't really like Covenant that much, you know. Probably one of the few who didn't, but yeah, Tucker stuff is killer.
Yeah.
And your next album on your list is one of my favorite groups, actually, with Exodus and Tempo of the Damned.
Oh yeah, that's kind of like, to me, their comeback record, man. I saw that tour in New York, and they're opening for Megadeth, and I never heard the record before, and I was just expecting, you know, like Toxic Waltz and shit like that, but we kicked it off with, you know, some of those new songs. Like, holy fuck, those riffs, dude. And Gary Holt's one of my favorite guitar players. He just has that tone and, you know, that style. And yeah, Tempo is a great record. Great record.
And then we have, now you changed this Incantation. First you had another album, and then you told me to change it. I don't remember what the other one was called. This one's called Martyr Throne of the Nazarene.
Yeah, I had Onward to Golgotha, and, you know, I did a tour with Incant. I played bass, and I think Mortal Throne has two of my favorite Incant songs to play. It was Ibex Moon, and what's the other one? I'm terrible with names. Nocturnal Dominion. Yeah, great songs, fun to play live. You know, John, you know, he's been doing this, you know, a long time. He's keeping that band going is, you know, a labor of love for him. You know, there's not a whole lot of money in death metal, and to be able to do that for that long is very commendable.
John's a great guy. I've met him a couple of times at different shows between Greensboro and Charlotte. You know, obviously him and his wife live in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. Like at any given point in time, any show I go to, I have a chance of running into him, which is very nice. He was nice enough to sign my copy of the new album when they played with Suffocation, not last December, but December 2023. Just very humble, very, very sweet human being. You know, a hell of a guitar player, writes great riffs. I've always loved the doominess of Incantation. Mm-hmm. You know, they've always just had that creepy vibe that not too many other bands can match. Immolation maybe, but very, very few others. So yeah, I mean, it's special. I mean, you know, just the North Carolina scene in general. And Scott, I know you can agree with this. You know, you meet these wonderful people, you start going to shows, and it's not like, you know, I'm from the Philly area originally. And, you know, you go to shows in Philly and, you know, there's so many shows and there's so many people, you never run into the same person twice. Well, you know, in Greensboro, Charlotte, Raleigh, you start running into the same people all the time, mm-hmm. you know, so you start making friends just, you know, as being part of it. It's very special, and it's, you know, something I'm really, really happy to be a part of for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And our next album, I hope you don't lose any fans when I mention this one. But
I don't care, dude.
I'm just kidding. Skid Row with their self-titled album, Skid Row.
I love Skid Row. I don't give a fuck. It's you know, that's my first time hearing, like, for a guitar player, like, you know, the squeals. You know, like Scotty Hill was like always doing the squeals, and, you know, very tasteful solos. Just, you know, one of the top guitar players that never gets mentioned. Scotty Hill, you know, Dave Sabo, just, you know, being originally from New Jersey, they're kind of like you know, hometown heroes of Sayreville. So, you know, Skid Row all day, every day.
And their first two albums were great. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't give a fuck, yeah. Worst Skid Row all time, dude.
And of course, Sebastian Bach was from Canada. or is from Canada, but now he's on his own. But I don't know how, you know, he's getting up there. They're all getting up there. And Skid Row has a new vocalist, I believe, as long as they're still going too, I think. But I don't have any. I've never listened.
I wish they would just bury the hatchet and.
Yeah.
Everybody, something must have happened that was very bad, and you know they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that would be a good tour if he did rejoin.
I've seen both bands, you know, separately, and I mean they're. I saw Skid Row with Salinger, Johnny Salinger, I think before he passed away. When I seen Sebastian open up for Guns N' Roses with his band, and I mean they're both great, but they're just missing something.
And we end your list with a guitarist, Jason Becker, and Perpetual Burn. Sorry.
You know, Jason Becker, I'm not, you guys know about Jason?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I mean,
he recorded that record when he was 17, you know, to play like that when you're 17, and, you know, people nowadays still can't fucking touch that. You know, Jason got ALS, I think, when he was recording the David Lee Roth album. And you know he's still alive, and you know it's a very sad story. I think there's a movie called Not Dead Yet. You know, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. And you know, God bless Jason Becker, man.
Okay, so there's your list, and we did that album. Do you want to tell everybody how we can find you, like False Prophets on Instagram and. Where else you are?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook. We're easy to, get in touch with me or Paul or, Ian, Wes, our drummer lives in New York, Wes. So, we have people everywhere, Indiana, New York, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. You get in touch with us.
And so your album will probably be out this year. You think
we hope so.
You don't know. Okay, so
maybe. As long as there's no pandemics or fucking.
Okay, and if we get a copy of it, well, John will definitely write a review of it for the website.
I'll
be thrilled too. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we hope to have it out and start shopping it, and try to get a label. Pick it up and distribution. Find a tour, or if not, we'll just do it ourselves. Do an East Coast. Hopefully, make a West Coast run. And maybe south, southwest Texas. We love playing, everywhere. So hopefully we'll be able to see us somewhere.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It was very fun because we did something a little different. We talked about so many bands compared to what we usually do. We usually just talk about one band, more or less.
It's so hard, man.
So that was good. So thanks for joining us today, Scott. And thanks, John, also for being here. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week.